Saturday evening. What's going on, Mike? How's it going?
How you doing? I'm doing all right. I'm a little drunk, so
it's all good. That's the
best. Please forgive if I slur a couple words here and there, but you know.
You're like when you turn the LLM onto high temperature and just comes out a little weird.
Yeah, exactly.
I think ChatGPT, I have the API, so I like turned the temperature up a little and it would flip into Swedish and then suddenly it would flip into Thai.
Swedish?
Yeah, no, like it would start, like I was asking it questions like recommend me a movie or something like that. And then it would be like, it would say some shit and then it would start spitting out gibberish and then it flipped into Swedish and then it flipped into Thai. And I was like, what the fuck is going on with this guy? The temperature was too high.
I mean, I feel like that's an analog to what is actually going on in the world right now. Like, what the fuck is what is going on? what the hell is happening?
I don't know, man. Our vice president is in Greenland. We're gonna increase the total landmass size of the United States by 22%. Do you know how big Greenland is? It's five Californias.
Yeah, it's enormous.
It's huge.
It's enormous, and it unlocks the North Pole.
Yeah, yeah.
That's basically the fucking 10-word summary or whatever of this entire thing that's going on right now. It's enormous and it unlocks the North Pole.
They're not climate change denialists. They're climate change realists. They're like, the future is going to be in the North, and we're going to want a piece of it.
Yeah. Okay? Have you seen a map of like of the North Arctic?
It's us. It's Russia. It's like Sweden and Finland.
Yeah, and like Norway
and Greenland. Yeah.
No, but so I saw a map and there's like these highlighted shipping routes through that place.
Yeah.
And Northwest Passage is only like one of four potential routes through the North.
Yeah.
Which covers literally every single landmass that matters.
Yeah.
So it's kind of wild.
Yeah. You've got to look at it doesn't make sense unless you use a globe like Google Earth and turn it onto the North Pole.
Yeah.
And it starts to make sense like what's going on. If you look at a regular map, you're like, why would you be up there, bro? You know, like turn it on its side and turn it onto the top and it starts to make sense what's going on.
Yeah.
That whole area now is like liquid.
Or just like a physical globe. Like, remember those? Like, like the little, you know.
Like an actual plastic ball.
Like an actual ball. Yeah. Like those plastic balls. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So I've been a little lazy with the pod last couple of weeks. So happy that you're able to jump on. You were talking. I wanted to do this like earlier, but then we couldn't. I think we were both just doing our own thing. But
yeah, just busy going around.
You had mentioned, I don't know if it's stale at this point, but because I wanted to talk about it while the iron was hot, but you were like, I got my bug out plan in motion. I'm leaving. And I was like, what are you talking about? You're like, it's in the computer. Everything's computer. What is in there?
Everything is computer.
Everything's computer.
So no, the thing that kicked us off was for the eighth or ninth time, I forgot how many years I've lived here. I just wrote my property tax check, which is everything is computer. It's not an actual check, but you know.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what the fuck am I paying this much money for? It's kind of, dude, my property tax is more than some people make in a year. You know what I mean?
Jesus.
So I'm just like, this is fucking stupid.
Why is it so high? Has it always been that high?
It's 1% of the purchase cost. And it drifts up. It drifts up by like a couple hundred bucks a year.
Okay.
So they say it's fixed, but not really. It's like kind of fixed, kind of not fixed.
Okay.
So, you know. Anyways, so I'm just like, what the fuck am I even doing here? Like, the only reason I moved here in the first place was because of my work. We had a data center out here. So now I'm just like, what? Why am I even here? Like, kind of makes no sense. So anyways, yeah, I'm bugging out. I'm out of here.
Are you gonna sell your place and get out of there, or are you gonna rent it out, or what?
Here's the thing about real estate as a business. It's a real pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds great on paper.
You mean
paper,
to maintain a rental property?
To maintain, everything is decaying constantly. Everything decays.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter how nice it is, how nice it looks. This shit's going downhill fast.
Yeah.
Everywhere. So yeah, like, people have, like, this dream of, quote unquote, retiring with a bunch of real estate in their portfolio. That shit ain't real life. It's a constant.
It's a full-time business.
It's a constant giant pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, I used to live in, you know, a pretty old building, and I owned there, and I was on the board, and we had a property management company, and it is a never-ending cycle of reinvestment and maintenance. And
it's a never-ending story.
Fucking expensive. And
it's a never-ending story.
Taxes always go up.
Taxes always go up.
You never get a bill where you open it up and you're like, oh, that's what I was expecting. Every tax bill that came, every maintenance bill, everything was always like, what the f-? Everything was a crisis. Every time we opened an envelope, it was a crisis.
Yeah, so I tell people this, you know, when I used to run a small business, as you may know, and I used to tell this to my employees, like, my entire job is just to deal with the $50,000 bill that's going to come in the mail for no reason.
Right.
I just have to respond to that. Like, that's literally my entire job. Every month, something will fucking show up without fail. It's just going to drop on your lap. And you're like, oh, guess what? You owe us $50,000. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah. Out of the blue. Out of the fucking blue.
Out of the fucking blue, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's why. I mean, that is the thing, is like, the more money, more problems, man.
More problems. Exactly. Yep.
More money, more problems. You know what doesn't give you problems? Money market funds and treasuries, dude. The U.S. government never fucking calls you and is like, hey, I'm going to be a little late.
Well, exactly.
They never do that, at least.
The thing, well, I mean, that's how it is now. But, I mean, look, if these guys in Washington want to get the 10-year down and then the Fed starts printing, that shit is going to yield zero.
Yeah, that's good for me, you know?
Yeah, but you don't get the upside on the money market.
I own treasuries. I own not a lot. Actually, I own a fairly decent amount. Bring it down. I mean, the whole thing's like, bring it down. I'm like, yeah, dude.
But what duration? I mean, are you actually going to see
everywhere between? You know, between shit is like maturing next month to like 20 years out.
Oh, okay, so you got a little ladder going on.
Yeah, I got a little ladder. Mostly short term, but I own a nice chunk on the long end too, which I got hosed on. I'm like, oh shit. But now I got these degenerates in office blowing into my sale. You know what I mean?
So, you wanna hear something funny about this administration and the economics of it all?
Let's go.
Dude, my net worth has gone up since Trump took office.
Why is that? Do you have shorts on, or are you invested in, like?
No, I'm not. I don't generally like the short stuff, because shit can get out of hand real fast.
You like options though.
I like options. Yeah, exactly. Because the downside is defined.
Downside is defined. Yeah,
it's very, very simple, right? Mm-hmm. Anyways,
unless you're selling.
So, what's that?
Unless you're selling.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. Then it's undefined. Mm-hmm. Undefined means you're fucked. So all these, dude, like, all these trade tariffs, everything I own, everything that I bought during my period of like high money making.
Yeah.
All that shit has gone up in value, dude.
You mean your rich guy toys?
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. My cars.
Yeah.
My fucking. Yeah, all that stuff. It's gone up. So I'm just like, a lot of people are like, oh, this is so terrible. This isn't what he promised, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I'm like, all right. You know?
Well, that's a very personal, you're personally placed in that sense.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's very personal. It's just like, what the heck? Like,
I mean, I'm lucky too, because it's gone up for me because Gold is through the fucking roof.
Yeah, what is it? 3,100? I think it's 3,100,
dude.
Oh, bro.
The world. That's, I don't know. To me, that's like, it's never been that high. This is the all time high for gold, like in the history of like the solar system. And I don't know. It's kind of weird, man. It's kind of weird to see gold going that high. You're kind of like, what is that about? What? Why is everyone? Well, why is every central bank starting to hoard gold? You know what I mean?
Well, because the dollar was really, it was really scarce for a minute, and then now it's coming down again. But I mean, nobody wants. No international central bank wants treasuries, because it's like, you know, when they did the whole Russia thing, they just seized it.
Yeah.
At that point, I think everyone was just like, nah.
That was so fucking retarded, dude. It didn't even work.
It did not even work.
It didn't even fucking work. I mean, at least work. If you're going to do it, at least destroy Russia.
This is part of the reason.
Jesus.
I mean, the Biden administration. Yeah.
That was totally like Wile E. Coyote shit. With the Acme freeze your assets.
It's
the Acme freeze your assets package, you know?
It's so fucking stupid, man. It's so fucking stupid. Anyways, well, whatever. That's above my pay grade.
People ask me if I regret voting for Trump, and I'm like, no. It's all bad choices, okay? Like, people act like don't you wish you had voted Kamala? Hell no.
No.
Fuck no.
Fuck no.
And I knew Trump was going to be a fucking disaster in his own way.
He's a fucking bombshell. He's a bombshell.
Exactly. At least history is progressing with this motherfucker.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to this guy at the bar the other day, and he was like, you know, we were chopping it up, and he's like, oh, I bet you voted for Trump, right? And I was like, yeah, I did. And he's like, why? So I explained all this shit to him, but
was he like a white guy?
No, he's actually a literal African guy, like African from guy. Africa, Africa.
Okay.
But he's out here doing business or whatever.
Africans love Democrats from what I've, my experience, but yeah.
Well, he did. And so he was like, why? Like, you're not like a, yeah, you're not like a fucking old money white guy or whatever. I'm like, well, I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. And I just laid it out for him, dude. I'm like, dude, first of all, this is Southern California. I do not live in Alabama, Louisiana, Oklahoma, or any of these places.
Yeah.
This entire state is run by Democrats.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, so I was like, he was a business guy too. So, you know, I was just like, dude, how, like, you know how much of a pain in the ass the government is here, right? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, dude, there's this whole other layer of bullshit that you have to deal with when you're running a business that has nothing to do with your business. It's literally just 20% of your week is just dealing with the goddamn government.
Mm.
Okay. And that's I'm like, that's kind of a problem, bro. Like, I sold my business because of that. I just didn't want to deal with the tax authorities, you know? And he's like, oh yeah, I kind of get what you're saying. I'm like, I kind of get what you're saying. And I was like, yeah. And bro, if I lived in Alabama, I'd probably vote Democrat because those states are fucked up and run by Republicans. Exactly.
Yeah.
So like, bro, I'm like, I vote where I live. Like, I live here.
Yeah.
Like, it's as simple as that, dude. Yeah.
There was a white guy from, I think, like, I don't know, like Michigan or something like that. And he kept telling me online. He was like, dude, do you know how fucking stupid you sound being all pro Trump and shit? You sound naive as fuck. Like, you've never been out here. You don't know what they're about. I'm like, yeah, I don't live in Michigan.
I don't live there, dude. Yeah.
Michigan isn't my problem. My problem, I live in New York, okay? So exactly. Yeah, I don't give a shit if Michigan people think I'm not naive. I don't care about Michigan.
I'm not voting for the people in Michigan.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not voting for you, bro. I'm voting for me, okay?
I'm voting for me, dog. Yeah. It's a big-ass country.
You should see how awful fucking New York City is under the under the liberals. Okay. I'm not saying that Trump is necessarily going to fix anything about it, about what's going on here or whatever. But I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. And people have said this. A lot of people I agree with on this. It's like, look, it's not even that I'm voting for the quote better side or whatever, but there needs to be fucking consequences when one party thinks that they're entitled to your vote, no matter
when they run roughshod over your life.
Yeah. And you're like, dude, no, there has to be consequences where you just fucking lose your own base. And I don't care if the if your competition is quote worse, you need to lose. Like you just need to fucking lose. So
speaking of which, Gavin Newsom, governor of California, is on a brand new charm offensive.
Yeah.
He's going around doing podcasts and shit. He's definitely going to run in 2028, I think. And, delusional. He has a lot of work to do. Let me just put it that way.
Yeah.
Cause California is in a pretty bad spot in general. Yeah. And it's like, if you're going to try to lead the nation in a campaign, how easy is it to run an anti that campaign? Just take a photo of anywhere in California. You know?
Yeah. So so keep going. So what's the plan here then?
So when I sold the business, I got a certain amount of money. I invested some, and then I had some cash. At some point, the cash position is going to be uncomfortable. Like, this is not exactly a low cost of living area.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, the cash position is going to become uncomfortable. And it's not like I'm going to run out of money, but it's more like I just feel guilty for spending all this goddamn money just doing nothing, living here. So anyways, so the idea is...
Unnecessary burn. California, and you're not even sure the fuck why.
Exactly.
Like, what am I getting out of this?
Exactly. And so at some point, I'm just going to start liquidating hard assets that are here. I probably will sell my place. I don't want to keep this place.
Yeah.
And then...
I mean, the LA market's still pretty fucking hot.
It never went down.
Yeah. I mean, rest of the country, like a lot of places are starting to turn over and go rancid a bit. But I heard from my friend in LA, it's like, no, it's not. It's hotter than
not here,
actually.
Well, because there's cash-rich buyers here.
Cash-rich buyers, and also there's a lot of, you know, a lot of people got burned out of their homes. And so there's just a lot of movement.
There's also that. Yeah, it's funny. Around here, there's actually a lot of since the fires, there's a lot of dudes walking around in like work gear, like Dickies and Carhartt and shit like that. So I like talk to them at the bar or whatever. And yeah, they're all here for the fires, like reconstruction guys from all over the place.
Yeah.
So it's like super obvious because, dude, it's Santa Monica. Like,
yeah.
imagine some guy in boots and Carhartt like walking around New York. Right, like who the fuck?
Yeah,
who
like are you? Becca or something.
Yeah, like what are you doing here? Like, oh right, yeah, half the town burned down. Yeah,
right. Yeah, yeah. All right, so what are we talking about? Liquidate.
Yeah. Well, the thing we were talking about earlier was, dude, there's like all these YouTubers doing videos out of China now.
Are you going to China?
What?
Are you going to go to China?
No, I haven't been there in 10 years.
Last No. My question is, if you liquidate your shit, fucking house,
no,
like where are you going?
I don't need to go to China. No,
no, no, no. I know. I'm just wondering, like where to, or is that TBD?
That's kind of TBD. Mm. Probably Southeast Asia somewhere, but not China or Singapore, because Singapore is incredibly fucking expensive and
boring as fuck anyway.
And boring and hot and sticky and it's
I was just watching The White Lotus season 3. Have you been watching this?
You know, I haven't. I have
it's
not.
It's pretty good.
I know nothing about White Lotus.
It's
other
good.
Than it's about rich people.
Kinda, yeah. It is. It's I mean people like it because it the White Lotus is a fictional like super high end resort. Four seasons, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it just focuses on like one week at this resort and some shit that the guests pull and whatever. And I think first season was Hawaii, second season was in Italy, and then third season is in Thailand.
Oh, it's in Thailand.
It's
oh,
in
really?
Thailand. Yeah. It's surprisingly it's actually really like usually I don't like watching shit that takes place in Thailand because it's just gross and like, you know, the way the
it's kind of sex patty and all that.
Yeah. It does. I would say this show manages to, let me put it this way. I think this show attracts a lot of like WMAF couples. And oh, okay. I feel like this because it's like, you know, it's a resort. It's like a trendy HBO show, and it's like sort of whatever. And
it's like Sex in the City for WMAF.
No. Yes. No, it is. But I think this season would be incredibly uncomfortable for a lot of WMF couples watching it.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
It's pretty brutal. It's pretty brutal about like white,
like just all, like on the nose.
Oh yeah, you know, like the term LBHs comes along. Like,
oh yeah, loser back home. Yeah.
Yeah. LBHs. It's like the bald white guy is like is like a heavy trope in this. It's pretty brutal. It's pretty brutal against the LBH.
Well, you know my buddy that you met in Boston?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in Thailand right now.
Yeah. So just watch. They're like the guy, one of the like bald white dudes goes to another white dude. This white dude is just on vacation with his family. Right. And he goes, "What are you doing in Thailand?" He was like, everyone in Thailand is here. They're either hiding from something or looking for something. What are you
exactly doing? Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Thailand's always been that way, right? Because it's the only country in Southeast Asia that was never colonized.
I think that's right.
And,
yeah.
And so like during the Vietnam War and the Korean War, like it used to be R&R for rest and relaxation for US soldiers.
Yeah.
And it was just never colonized. So there wasn't that colonized mentality about.
Well, and they never had like a communist revolution that pushed everyone out or anything.
Exactly.
And they're still just chilling and hanging out.
Yeah. Thailand's cool. I like Thailand.
I've never been. Never been.
It's very interesting. I've never been
to Southeast Asia except for Bali. I went to Bali and. I thought it was okay.
Yeah, I mean, Bali is just overrun by tourists.
Yeah, it's like it's overrun with like traffic and you pretty much rent. You can get the thing with Bali is like you can get things are cheap as fuck and you can get a super nice house. The kind that should be in a magazine,
Yeah, like Instagram shit.
Yeah, like we had like a bathtub that, it was like an outdoor but private bathroom, and it had
infinity bathtub.
It had like a bathtub that was carved out of like black volcanic rock.
Oh wow!
Pool went into the living room, that kind of shit, and was on the beach. And it wasn't expensive. Okay. I think we paid like $700 a night. But there were like six of us, right?
So that's expensive, bro.
No, but there were
700 a night,
dude. But you should have seen this place. I mean,
no, I know, but
and yeah, there were six. That's high end. Because it houses like at minimum six people, right? So that's actually pretty cheap.
Yeah, that means the regular ass hotel room is like $50 a night, or like even less, like $25 a night.
It was crazy what we got, like, and that. It had a separate room, like little. Sort of covered area for like dinner. It had a separate area just for like workout and massage. And then you had like on site, you had like two chefs, a fucking, there was a massage.
Oh yeah. I think you showed me pictures of this place.
Yeah. It was nuts. I've never seen anything like it. And I was, but here's the thing. I get bored of that shit in one day. In one day, I'm like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. This is boring. I can't deal with it.
Yeah, that's why whenever I travel, I generally don't get the nice hotel. I spend it on the flight. Like I'll get the better, the better flight seat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then wherever I sleep, I don't really give a shit because it's like, you just get used to whatever after like a night or two, and then that's it.
I agree. In fact, I would say when I'm shacked up in a really nice place, I feel like this weird urge to like try everything and do everything, and I get kind of like neurotic about like trying to enjoy this place as much as possible, and there's no way I can do it. It kind of wastes my time. If I'm in like a more normal hotel, I'm just like, it's just a place to stay, and I can just do my schedule. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel bad about not being at home.
Yeah, well, it's funny. Last time I went to Japan, which was about a year ago at this point.
Yeah,
I stayed in one of those capsule hotels.
Oh shit! Really?
And yeah, in the middle of Tokyo, my buddy booked this place, and So like, yeah, the airport capsule hotels is literally just a thing you just go into and then that's it.
Yeah.
But the ones in the middle of the city are like it's like a giant men's spa, basically. So there's like...
With like a bathhouse kind of thing?
Yeah, like a bathhouse. Yeah. And like you take off your shoe. Like you can't wear any like regular clothes inside. You have to put on like a robe.
Yeah.
And like go in and take your shoes off and put them in a locker and like all this stuff. And then there's like a bar and a restaurant and all this stuff. So, and then you go inside and it's like a
sanitarium / dorm or something.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a dorm basically. Yeah. Uh-huh. So, and then the actual capsules are in these big giant like pods almost, mm-hmm. like hallway pod things. And then what you do is you badge in because they give you a badge.
Yeah.
And then you badge in, and then it's like a giant, long dormitory.
That's super Japanese.
With like capsules everywhere, and then like you're not allowed. Excuse me. And then so you go in, and then there's no noise. You can't do anything other than sleep. Mm. And you just go in, and you're in your pod, and then you put on your headphones, and then that's it. Mm. And they enforce this 24/7.
How much did basically. It cost?
Dude, it was super cheap. It was like $20 a night.
Wow.
In the middle of Tokyo.
And but you pay for meals and all that stuff.
So, okay. So there's a mezzanine cafe. Mm-hmm. And then what they have is like an Asian breakfast buffet, which is like rice and, you know, like rice and eggs and pickles and all that shit. Yeah. So like continental Asian breakfast mm-hmm. or whatever. But then there's also like super fast Wi-Fi and like a lounge and like all this other stuff. It was actually really nice.
Yeah. Sounds super Japanese.
Wait, super Japanese.
So yeah, there used to be this Korean spa that I would go to in New Jersey when I was living out in Jersey for a second. And I liked it because it was like you would just pay because I was in Jersey temporarily and I was living in a pretty shitty apartment. I was just waiting for my place to get ready. And so I would go there and like entire families would badge in for the day and they would have all these like leather couches and then they would just sit there in their comfortable little uniform that they give you. And the kids would just like do homework and play games and the parents would just watch TV. They had Korean dramas up on the projector. And then, you know, and then if you wanted, you could like put yourself in a human pizza oven and just, they would, you know, like a dry spa that was like 165 degrees, just lay there until you're sweating. Come back out, get some food. Know, it was pretty nice, actually.
I mean, that's like, you know, to me, that sounds like a reaction to like overwork culture, right? Mm. And I feel like that's what maybe America needs right now, and you know, in some capacity.
Yeah, but the thing is, I can't deal with other being Americans. Overworked. You know what I mean? Like with a place full of Koreans, I can deal with it because, like, they treat it like behaviorally, it's all very consistent. You know what I mean? Like the families are just there doing family shit. If it was like, Americans, you know there'd be some fucking wild ass shit going on. And
well, yeah, no, it's very much like that kind of culture is very much like the Nordic countries, right? They do that kind of
thing.
They
do that. Like Americans, it's just too unstable, and like people are always just there's always a group of people that are wilding out and are going to ruin it.
Well, I mean, we are talking about stuff that's in America, like. They have those here too in K-Town, you know.
No, but it's Koreans there, right?
Yeah, but anyone can. I mean, white chicks go like to these kind of places.
Yeah, well, so they had one here called Castle Spa or Spa Castle or something, and they had to shut it down because Americans were having sex in the hot tub.
Oh Jesus!
You know what I mean? And you know it's gross too.
It's fucking gross.
Yeah, they were like floating condoms in there and shit. You know what I'm talking about? That kind of shit. You're like, dude, this is literally just to warm people's bodies up. It's you know what I mean? Like, why are you having sex in there? This isn't. You know what I mean? They can't because you know why? Because like, I feel like the public bathhouse, and I went to like the onsen shit and all that in Japan, and it's very like, it's very much just a part of regular life. You know, like that's their thing. They like go out in public into these big comfortable things. The dudes are all naked, old dudes naked sitting by a faucet just doing this, sit in the onsen thing, go out, drink some water, just chill out in the seating zone for a little while, and then you go home. That's it. It's just part of life. But here, I don't know. Like, everyone needs to turn it into a fucking
fuck fest.
Everyone thinks it's always a party here all the time. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
they can't just be normal. And so, yeah. Anyway, that's why we can't have nice things in America.
Can't have nice things.
Everyone starts fucking in the hot tub, and you're like, Jesus Christ, stop it! Nobody wants this. You need to stop. This is gross. Montoya, por favor. Montoya, por favor. Oh man. Anyway, yeah. So, dude, if you think about it, you're like, no assets, all liquid. What are you gonna do?
That's what I want.
Like, you're gonna be like Jules from Pulp Fiction, just wandering around, getting into adventures.
Man, I look at it this way. Like, after the last decade of my life, I don't think I'm capable of like having a job. Like having a job and reporting to a boss and like sitting on fucking Zoom calls.
It's like going back to jail, dude.
It's just not gonna happen. It's just not gonna happen.
Yeah. You only need to do that if you're literally out of money and you're like, fuck.
Literally out of money, right? Yeah. So, and then, like, I've gone on a couple of interviews just here and there. Whatever falls into my lap. And so I'm, like, wearing my little suit and I go in and I talk. And, like, when the job interviewer asks you a question, like, I know what they want to hear. I know exactly what they want to hear, but I just can't bring myself to say those words.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, nah, fuck that. Fuck this.
You're not attitudinally in the right spot for that fucking job, dude.
Correct. Yeah. I'm like, I know what you want to hear, dude.
Yeah.
I'm in it.
I'm in a job right now. I kind of know, you know, what you got to do. It's a sentence, dude. I mean, like, here's the thing nobody wants to hear is like, working a fucking job is like it's a form of incarceration. Okay, it is. It's
indentured servitude.
Yeah, it is. That's what it is. Because if you had the money, you wouldn't need to do it, and you wouldn't.
right, you wouldn't do it.
So stop. Like, why lie? You know, people are like, "Oh, it's just what I'm interested in. This is my passion." No, it's not. It's not. It's not. It's not. Stop.
You know that movie Margin Call with Kevin Spacey?
Yeah. Filmed, actually, I see where they filmed the trading floor. I work in that building.
Floor. No shit. Floor, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in the movie, Kevin Spacey has a line. He's like, believe it or not, I need the money.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that. Yes.
Believe it or not, I still need the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good line.
Yeah. Cause it's like,
who was he telling that to? Was that in the end or when,
Yeah, it was near the end. He was telling Jeremy Irons, the CEO.
Jeremy Irons wanted him to stay on for a little bit.
Yeah, he was like, I want to resign. He's like, can't let you do that. Mm-hmm. He's like, I want my options. I want this, that, you know, all the career stuff. And Jeremy Irons' character is like, can't let you do that. I need two more years from you. And here is the amount. And he's like, fuck. Believe it or not, I still need the money.
Yeah, that was an incredible line. Because he'd been there for like 25 years. Yeah,
dude, he's like this old school Wall Street executive guy, right?
And it's
like,
I still need the money.
What the fuck? Why do you need? Yeah, like, how the fuck did you fuck that up, dude? Like,
because he's spending, man. Because he's spending.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, dude. Shit's super funny.
Yeah. I was talking to Trevor on the Champagne Sharks podcast the other day.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I think... He's somewhat disagreed with me here, but I think it's based on who you're talking about, what position you're in. But like, okay, I think of like your financial situation as a function of largely three things: how much you make, how much you spend, and how you invest.
Keep.
Right. And I think looking back for myself, that how much I spend is by far the of the three variables, that's the one that I have the most control over and is most leveraged towards building up savings.
Oh, bro, dude, somebody I know, I won't say who, he's at his breaking point, dude. He has a mortgage in LA, a wife, two kids. And he was like, I was just like put into a fucking psychiatric center for a week. I was like, what?
Is a friend of yours?
Yeah, it's a friend of mine.
Uh-huh.
I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, it was on a group chat, and he's like, yeah, I just got out of a psych center. I'm like, holy what shit. The fuck? So I text my
what
other
kind
friend.
What kind of work does he do, by the way? Like what industry?
Software.
Okay. Tech kind of guy. Okay.
Tech stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tech stuff. And so I'm like texting my other friend who we both know, who's also in the group chat. I'm like, what the fuck is going on with this guy? My other friend, who's slightly older than me, I think probably your age, like 45, 40, yeah. something like that.
Yep.
He's like, dude, everyone I know is fucking breaking right now.
Really?
Like all of his people, well, everyone he knows with like the traditional
yeah.
life,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, dude, they're all breaking right now. I'm like, fucking really? Because, dude, I have no wife, no kid. Like, I'm a guy floating around, right?
Yeah.
So I don't hang in like these dad circles or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, dude, everyone is fucking breaking right now. Mm. I'm like, holy shit. All right.
What's going on?
Dude, everything
what's changed?
Dude, I don't know. Everything is apparently so fucking expensive.
Yeah.
Just imagine your wife
your kids,
doesn't work.
I think getting the kids through like through college and stuff is like they've turned that into such a fucking disaster.
It's a goddamn factory, dude.
Yeah. But it's just, first of all, it's impossible to get in anywhere. And second, you have to pay out the fucking nose.
Yeah. Yeah. No. So I was like, what's going on with this guy? He's like, dude, he's breaking like a lot of people I know. I'm like, holy shit, dude.
Yeah.
It's fucking wild out there.
Yeah, I got friends. I don't know too much about, because I think I sort of get cut out of a lot of these direct conversations. I think you learn that through direct conversations. I tend to learn about it like secondhand because honestly, my life is so fucking easy compared to.
Yeah, I feel like when I hear this kind of shit, when I hear this kind of shit, I just feel like I'm on easy mode. But then it's also not that easy, you know? So I'm just like, okay, well.
Wait, why is it not that easy? You've got it. I mean, you had a hard time when you were fucking cranking out your business.
Yeah, no, dude, bills, taxes, everything. It's, you know,
you mean just like the never ending of fucking liabilities and shit?
The never ending stream of bullshit that I have to deal with just as a single guy.
Yeah.
Just as a single guy. So I'm only just imagining, like, if you're married and you have two kids or whatever, and you got a mortgage and you got all this and that, especially
it's
in
a lot of exposure,
place like Southern California, which is basically the most fucking expensive place on earth.
It's crazy out there.
Yeah. So it's just wild, dude.
Even from New York City's perspective, like a New Yorker's perspective, SoCal is like crazy.
It is
and New
insane.
York City's crazy. But
it's insanely crazy expensive out here, dude.
I feel like in LA you need to have more than in New York. Like in New York, you could get by with like a small apartment and public transportation.
But in LA, you can't.
You have to have a house and the car and all that shit. And
you got to have.
You've
got to
pretend
fucking...
you're living in the suburbs, but you're living in one of the most.
But you're living in But you're living in the city, sure. So, you know, I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on.
Bug out of LA, dude. Get out. Are there other parts of California that are like cool to go to that are like not as expensive but still on the coast? And
San Diego used to be that. I
what
went
about
to school
like Santa
down in
Cruz
San Diego?
Or some shit like that.
No, that's expensive as fuck.
Santa Cruz is expensive.
Yeah, dude. The whole a 50-mile radius from San Francisco is just insanely expensive.
Oh yeah,
dude. Just think about how much money is out there. Like how many random millionaires are there? Right.
True.
Like, oh yeah.
It's kind of insane.
I'm from the Bay. My parents bought a house 40 years ago and now it's worth $3 million.
I was friends with this girl in law school and one day she just casually dropped that her brother was the founder of Chipotle.
Yeah.
Like that kind of shit.
Sure. Yeah. Like, all right.
And he lives in like a $19 million house in San Francisco.
Yeah. It's fucking, it's fucking crazy, dude. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Look, when you hang out with that crowd, it almost is to the point where, well, A, they don't really care about money, but it's just like not a thing to them.
Money.
Like money's not like a real thing. It's just like,
Oh, it's just a thing they have it. They've achieved it. It's done.
Yeah, like it's done.
Like, or oh, yeah, the if, money thing. Yeah, no, I'm done.
Yeah, no, that. Like, yeah, you know, I talked to my trust lawyer the other day and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's wild, dude. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, I still think that if it, you know, with a decent enough wad, like you don't have to be, the problem is if you're trying to build like a really, like, splashing life in America, I think America's just gotten too expensive. I mean, obviously there's places that are still affordable, but like, why would you want to live in some of those places?
Well, that's the thing.
You know what I mean?
It's like yeah, I could go move to Bakersfield, but it's like, yeah, probably not.
What's the point? Unless like the only reason I could see doing it is because, you know, you're trying to raise a family, the school, you know, like things will make sense. Like there's jobs there. Property prices are, you know, relative to the quality, yes, of the school.
Still doable.
Is,
yeah.
Yeah. Like you make calculations and then you get dragged out to places that are not particularly attractive. Well,
the thing is, it's like, Bakersfield, Fresno, like these kind of places, it's still more expensive than the equivalent in Texas.
Right.
Or whatever, you know?
Where's Fresno, by the way? I always hear that.
Fresno's north of Bakersfield. So all these cities are up the 99. The 99 highway is the inland.
Oh, Inland Empire?
No, north of that.
Oh, north of
Inland that. Inland Empire is like east of here.
Oh, okay.
We're talking north of here.
Oh, north.
In the Central Valley. It goes up and down the Central Valley.
Oh, shit. Okay, I see it. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, literally like into the valley.
Into the valley.
Wow. Okay.
The big valley, not,
yeah, not the big, San Francisco. Yeah, yeah, the big valley where all the farms valley and shit are.
Yeah.
Oh, that's where Fresno is. Okay. Looks pretty nice. I'm on a Google, yeah, no, Earth, a Google Maps.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's just very expensive.
Oh, Fresno is expensive?
Compared to, you know, Texas or Missouri or like one of these places, right? Mm-hmm.
It looks nice.
Yeah, yeah, it's perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with it.
It's sunny. It's got the sunny character of California. It doesn't have the coast, but who cares?
Well, the good thing about those places is they're close to all the big national parks like Sequoia, Yosemite,
yeah,
King's Forest, all that stuff.
Mm. Nice. Yeah, but you're not going to go there.
Well, and also 10% tax, state income tax. Would you pay 10% to live in one of those places?
Right, exactly. Like, why?
No.
Yeah. Again, Texas beckons then, if that's the
Texas
case.
Beckons, exactly. Yeah. Texas, Florida, what have you.
I'm telling you, Florida's pretty cool, man. I like Florida. I feel like a lot of Asian dudes who go to Florida fucking fall in love with Florida.
Well, I think I've mentioned this before, but Florida was the only place that I've gotten sexually harassed by a white chick.
Yeah. There's something about it that like...
She borderline raped me, dude. I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
I'm sorry for your loss.
yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
It's weird. It's weird out there. I don't know why. I feel particularly comfortable in Florida. Dude, I don't know, man. I was out with Chan today, and we drove by where I used to live in Brooklyn, and we drove by the we passed by the Tesla dealership, and there was a big anti, and I hate Elon Musk, so I honked. I was like, yay, fuck Elon. And then we got out and walked just to check it out a little bit, and there were all these like older hippie like Brooklyn grandpa and Brooklyn dad and Brooklyn grandpa and Brooklyn mother, sort of hippy dippy liberals and shit. And I was like, it's not that they're bad people, okay? It's not. I don't dislike these people, but I don't. It's not. You know what? It's like they're friendly people. I'm not like, oh god, these liberals. You know, I'm like, oh, nice people, but I can't fucking stand it, dude. I just can't. I can't deal with these people.
So
and I don't know.
I live close to a Tesla something or other.
Yeah.
And yesterday, there was a bunch of people walking down the street with megaphones shouting crazy shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, God, here we go again, dude. Because Santa Monica got fucked up.
I remember, yeah.
Summer of 2020. Oh my god, here we go. So this summer, I think it's going to pop off. It's probably going to pop off again in the big cities, maybe New York, maybe LA, Seattle.
I think it's going to be, I think one of the things that's really set to explode, especially out in LA, is the all the ICE deportations and stuff. I feel like a lot of people pretty riled up.
Yeah, they were shouting anti-ICE stuff. Like,
yeah.
ICE, shut it down. LA is an immigrant town. Like, okay. Yeah, we know. And it's, dude, it's going to, it's just, it's happening again. Yeah. It's just going to get crazy this summer. Yeah. Once the weather turns warm, you know, I mean, it's already kind of warm, but, you know, what is it? Almost April. Yeah. By like May or June, it's going to be crazy.
Wait, what is warm? Like what was today was warm in New York. We hit 80. Can you believe that?
Oh no, Santa Monica doesn't really get that hot except for a few days, but, once, like, it's still in the 60s during the day, so once into like seven,
wow,
yeah, we're up by the ocean, man. It's very, it kind of moderates the temperature a little bit. But anyways, once it gets into the 80s,
yeah,
it's gonna get wild.
Yeah,
it's gonna get wild again. I can already feel it, dude. I can just feel it.
Tempers are gonna rise.
I've lived here for 15 years. I can already fucking feel it. It's coming.
Bug out, dude. Just go cash. Go. Just go cash, fucking just pick. You don't have to settle down, you know, like just there's this guy, I watch his YouTube. He's just like a married guy, but I don't think he has kids. And he's like this guy, Michael Bordenero. And he's a real estate guy, and he's a bit of an economics doomer. So I kind of like his channel.
Yeah, I've seen him. He walks around with sunglasses
and he just I don't think he lives anywhere. I think he just like rents. He and his wife just like rent temporary apartments in like California and just will live there for
a couple months
and then they'll go back to Florida. I've seen a few videos. But the motherfucker's like always somewhere nice. Like it's always fucking nice where he is. And he's just sitting there going like, the economy's doomed. Everyone's going to be fucking, you know, it's dead. You know, anyone who bought a house is fucked. Wow, this park is beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm like, yeah, that's kind of like me right now. You know,
the thing is, he's not wrong, right? He's not wrong.
Yeah. I wouldn't watch his show if I thought he was wrong. I think a lot of the things that he says is actually correct.
Yeah. All these doomers, I mean, they're not wrong, right? That's the thing. Like, look, you could look at reality glass half full, glass half empty. All these doomer guys, there's a lot of these guys on YouTube. They're kind of, you know, doomering about real estate and the economy and all that stuff. And it's like, yeah, you're not wrong. But at the same time, it's like, you know, you can't just be 100% negative all the goddamn time. Like,
yeah, that's the number one criticism he gets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think, the thing is, it's like, okay, you can't be negative all the time. But this motherfucker is always just chilling. Like, he sounds like he's, like, quite enjoying life. I think instead of being down and I think what he's doing, honestly, is like people like him and sometimes myself a little bit, if I'm being completely honest, is, you know, sort of enjoying being right. Because like I will say like I do have a lot of sympathy for people and my friends who and my family, too, who are like really struggling with just the amount of leverage in their life. You know what I mean? Just like how everything, like it's a structure, like their life is a financial and career driven structure, and it's all got to be in place. And there is a little bit of like resilience built into the system, but not much. And if it gets too disturbed, there's no backup plan. There isn't really a backup plan.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Like people are starting to crack. They're starting to fucking crack. Like these guys I know, who are, you know, our age, 40 to 50, basically.
Yeah.
They're just starting to fucking crack, dude. Like in a serious way, not just like kind of.
Like they're having psychotic like moments and they need to be institutionalized.
Yeah, dude. They're having like episodes.
That's crazy, man.
Dude, it's crazy.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
I haven't heard of that, but the fact that you have probably means I will hear of it sooner or later. Jesus Christ.
I mean, so this particular guy, no, he's just very on. He's like a super honest person. Like he just no filter honesty. And so he's telling me this in the group chat. So he's like broadcasting this. But most people aren't like that.
Right. They're hiding it.
Yeah, they're hiding it, dude.
Yeah.
Like they're fucking, you know, they got their, you know, the mask on or whatever. Yeah. Right. So
I'm convinced a lot of people I know are on like SSRIs and are seeing therapists and are kind of like struggling with, you know, depression and anxiety and all that shit. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I mean,
I know like lots of people are in therapy like that. I know.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. Dude, half the fucking YouTube videos I see are about, or advertisements on YouTube videos are about fucking therapy.
Uh huh.
You know, it's like, dude, like that's the scale this is at?
Yeah.
Like what? Like what? You got like who? Are you? So this is just somebody you talk to? Like,
yeah.
You can't talk to anyone? Like you can't?
Well, this is my point, like, man. Is
what we're
is
doing
like,
here?
Okay, this is I've been telling Shan about this. I'm like, look, here's the thing. Is like she said this to me the other day, and I think this is right. She's like, this is kind of your time to shine because it's like you're. You were mentally preparing for this kind of outcome this whole time. And yeah. I was like, it was very annoying because it was like, I got the doomer label from a lot of people and they would be like, dude, you're so negative. I'm like, no, I'm just being realistic.
Just be honest.
Being realistic.
Yeah.
No, man. Now I think, to be honest, like I'm trying not to be doing, I don't do the I told you so stuff. But I will say like in my head, a lot of times I'm like, man, you should have fucking listened to me. You should have fucking listened. You know what? Like, for example, you know, like one thing you said is like, you said like some people that you knew like had big payouts and they were like sort of like found themselves within like the within a range of wealth that would just be considered like straight up wealthy, but it was all concentrated in one fucking stock. Like they're,
yeah,
you know, like I have friends like that.
Yeah, that,
and all that shit was in one stock. At the company that they worked for, and it got fucking like it got mauled, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
down 60%,
yeah, so,
you know,
yeah, so,
just what earned?
I mean, I know a couple of people like that. The smart thing to do is to do an in kind swap. I think we talked about this on the last one, but in kind stock swap. No taxation, but there's a 10-year lockup. And I don't think a lot – they probably were presented with that option, but they didn't like the idea of not touching that money for 10 years.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they were just like, oh, no, this is just how it is. The company I work for is worth $1 trillion or whatever.
It's a fucking swindle, though. A lot of these companies were making their employees feel like they were getting in on something big. And they had, like, you know, notional values of their stock – warrants and whatever the fuck else they got and unvested, you know, equity and whatever. And they would get a statement that said that's how much it's worth. But either they, for whatever reason, didn't liquidate it or they couldn't. And they just watching it just right now, like the past like 2 years, just.
Well, yeah, you know,
this company has just been like, I won't,
you know,
name
like
one,
look at
big one,
just look at and look at Nvidia, right? Like, yeah. They said one in every fucking five employees is a millionaire or something like that. It's like,
think it's
okay,
more? Jesus, yeah,
something like that. I mean, whatever it is, right? Yeah. But it's like, okay, in what terms? In NVDA terms,
probably in NVDA terms, yeah,
right? It's just like, okay, now the shit just got 40% haircut,
yeah,
dude. So it's just like. Oh man.
Easy come, easy go, right?
Yeah, easy come, easy go, right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know, man. I'm fascinated by the fact that like there is kind of a brick wall here. Maybe not brick wall's not, maybe that's a little bit too extreme, but I mean, like people are gonna have to make some fucking choices. You know what I mean? Like they're like, you said this before, like people have to think, like you cannot just do the default thing anymore.
Cannot.
It doesn't work. Like you know what I mean? Like you can't just set it and forget it and put everything in a low cost, you know, S&P 500 ETF and then just work this one job or do what, like you can't, like you got to make choices, that are unique to your own.
And they're not easy choices.
They're not easy, but they have to be based on your own perceptions and conclusions about what's going on.
I'll tell you the story of another guy I know, high school buddy of mine, known him forever, very smart guy. He was a software industry executive. He has a nice house in the suburbs and two kids.
Before you tell this story, because I'm very curious about this, should we end it here and move this over to the bonus portion? And you'll
I gotta take a little bio break also.
All right, let's pause it here for a sec, and then for listeners, if you want to hear, you as usual, we'll do the second part as a bonus episode on our Patreon. If you want to get access to bonus episodes, go to patreon.com/planamag. All right. Mm-hmm.